Long ago, I fell victim to every trap of the fat loss industry. I let coaches prey on my insecurity and lack of knowledge. I was led to fear carbs, exercise obsessively, fast, and take every supplement under the sun. And all I got for it was bodybuilding trophies and depression. That's why I built Muscle Bound Mama, to prevent women from falling into the same traps I did. I'm Sophie Smith-Doré, and I help women change their relationship with food for life. No gimmicks, no shame, just metabolic science and love. In this podcast, we call out the food demonization and fat shaming of the weight loss industry. We discuss how social conditioning and outdated nutrition science have groomed women to struggle with body image and nutritional competence. We love carbs, we love our bodies, and we won't be told otherwise. We eat the fucking cake. Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Muscle Bound Mama Eat the Fucking Cake podcast. Today we're talking about self-sabotage. Now, self-sabotage is a phrase that we're all pretty familiar with and one that I hear daily from potential clients. During our intake process, one of the questions I ask is, what are the behaviors that you engage in right before you abandon your goals? And the behaviors at the core of this question are the self-sabotaging activities. And the reason I don't ask, how do you sabotage yourself, is because not all of the behaviors are conscious behaviors. The thing is, self-sabotage is about undermining our goals or success. And when we engage in the behaviors, either consciously or unconsciously, we place significant obstacles between ourselves and achieving and maintaining the body weight composition we want. While this is frustrating, the really frustrating part is the reason we do this is not even our doing. And what I mean by this is that they're learned or observed behaviors or strategies that we develop to manage underlying issues that we also didn't ask for. Now, I know you've probably been blaming yourself for decades and saying things like, every time I get to this point, I blow it all up by doing X, or I just can't lose this last X number of pounds. But I'm here to tell you that it's deeper than that. It really isn't you. And it's important to understand that our environment and our social influences have a massive impact on us as we enter adolescence. And some of what we carry has been with us for decades. In other words, it's not your fault. But unfortunately, it is our responsibility to repair that damage. Identifying the underlying reasons for self-sabotage is an essential first step toward addressing these behaviors and achieving long-term success in weight loss, if that's your goal, but also overall health. So let's dive into that. Now, there are many self-sabotaging behaviors that we engage in, but I wanted to share the five most common ones with you. And I suspect that many of you will relate to most of these. There are so many, but, you know, one episode. Now, remember, nothing that I'm sharing with you is a life sentence. This is a really important message. I don't want you to listen to this and feel trapped. You have the power to change. We'll go over some strategies after I share this list, okay? Now, the first is fear of change. Humans are literally hardwired in our brains for patterns and habits. It's how we survived this long as a species. The more of our daily activities we can automate, the more emotional energy is available for important things that pose an actual threat to our survival. And this is why habit change is so challenging, because those habits are literally neural pathways in our brain that were built from constant firing of the same path between stimulus and response. So fear of change makes a lot of sense, and it can cause motivation paralysis, which can prevent you from starting, much less finishing your wellness goal. Now, the second one is setting unrealistic goals. So many of you right now are saying, not me, but when I'm finished, you will all be saying, oof, okay, that's kind of me. Now, deciding to start an exercise program and a rigid diet simultaneously might seem reasonable because of what we see in the media, but it's a perfect example of self-sabotaging behavior. And this is particularly true if you're new to both of these things, to dieting and exercise, right? Remember the show Biggest Loser? I mean, that was a million years ago now, but it's a perfect example of this mindset. Now, do you also remember the follow-up stories of these participants that showed that they all gained their weight back and some of them even more? That is the reality of this mindset. And further examples of this mindset are things like keto diets, intermittent fasting, and really enter any current fad diet here. It's all the same. Unfortunately, unrealistic goals is a self-sabotaging behavior right from the start. And really anything that is a grasp, anything that is a, oof, that's shiny and new, I've got to start that, that is a clue. Perfectionism is the third one. So if this episode was recorded in front of a live audience, you would all hear an audible yes from the audience. Perfectionism is all of us. And I go on and on about the social conditioning we face as women to be perfect, perfect parents, partners, blah, 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 while making it look effortless. And this is where it comes from. This all or nothing mindset trap sets you up for so many things. But in this context specifically, behaviors like binge eating after eating only slightly off plan, or having one difficult day, or forgetting to bring your planned lunch to work, it can all set you up to ignore your body's hunger and satiety cues and eat mindlessly because you're not logging because you had a bad day yesterday. So why bother? Does any of this sound familiar? Now, in our community, we call this setting the car on fire over a flat tire, right? Or throwing the baby out with the bathwater is another popular expression. One bad moment or one bad meal or one, you know, you just all start on Monday. Forget it. And I would never have set my Mini Cooper on fire over a flat tire. I would call CAA. This is it's not a small problem, but you don't set your car on fire over it, right? It just makes sense to fix the car, right? So it makes just as little sense to eat things that harm our bodies because we ate a little off plan, right? Perfectionism is a disease. Now, the fourth is fear of failure. Now, most people have attempted dozens of diets and either have not succeeded or have succeeded but gained the weight back. And this is usually a failure of the method, right? But that doesn't stop us from engaging in a painful cycle of self-deprecation and shame. We try to avoid failing again by quitting before we can fail. And I was the queen of this, and I know I'm not alone. Even outside of the diet world, people will enter this behavior, right? They'll quit their jobs before they're fired or before a bad review. They'll leave relationships before their partner leaves, or, you know, and I mean, none of these self-sabotaging behaviors are exclusive to dieting. And the thing about failure is that it's necessary for growth. And avoiding it means avoiding growth. And if you've been chasing fat loss for decades or losing it and regaining it over the years, this might be your self-sabotaging method. Now, the fifth is focusing on the scale. Another resounding oof, right? This could more accurately be called focusing on the end result and not the process. But while it's accurate, it's not as catchy. The scale is not the only or even the most accurate indicator of success. Yet every day, people let it determine their value and adherence to their program for the day. When I was a competitive athlete and in a cut phase to prepare for a meet or a show, this was very difficult for me. That number on that scale, which I stepped on every single day during that stage, would determine how I felt that day, which was crazy because it literally changed every day. Every day, the scale gives a different number. It is not a linear process, even if you're compliant, right? If the scale went down, I was on top of the world. Best day ever. Couldn't go wrong. If it went up, I was a mess, even if I was compliant. Now, obviously, if I was compliant, the scale increase was irrelevant to my actions, but I still allowed it to determine my value. Yikes, right? And I know that this happens to so many of you because I deal with check-ins weekly with my own client base. Now, obviously, for those who struggle with this, the issue is much deeper than that number. And in fact, this is very much the case for all five of these self-sabotaging behaviors. The issue runs much deeper. The scope of how these issues come to be for us individually is beyond this episode. I'm not a psychologist yet. I will be in a couple of years, but for now, we're speaking in general terms. My guess is that by hearing these examples, you were able to identify some ways in which these issues could have originated for you. Personally, I witnessed much of it growing up or developed these strategies as a means of survival in my upbringing. If you grew up in an abusive home, perfectionism is a strategy that many adopt to attempt to control their environment. This is also the case for people with undiagnosed neurodiversities. Mine wasn't diagnosed until I was in my 40s, and I realized that all of my issues with perfectionism were designed to control, you know, my neurodiversity that I didn't understand was a neurodiversity. So to reiterate, there is no place for shame and blame here. Regardless of the origin of these strategies, they exist, and once you've identified them, you can begin the work of building new strategies. But the key is agreeing to let yourself off the hook. You have to let go of the shame and blame. So let's talk strategies. Now, I have outlined a few of them here. So the first one is keeping a food diary. Now, hold on. This doesn't have to be in an app where you track calories or plan your meals formally. This is also not an exercise where you judge your choices. In fact, the success of this strategy requires that you avoid judgment entirely. Okay, stay with me. The goal of the strategy is simply to notice patterns so that you can develop strategies to interrupt them. So here's an example. A new client came to me with intense cravings she felt she could not control. Now, through logging, we learned that her protein intake was less than 60 grams per day. We moved her protein target up gradually, and guess what happened? The higher her protein intake, the fewer cravings she had. Protein is the macro responsible for satiety, and through exploring her current habits, we noticed a pattern and built a strategy. Now, this is not a dieting client, by the way. Her goal was just to avoid binge eating. And it turns out she was not binge eating. She just had cravings she felt she could not control. And she felt that this was her flaw. And it wasn't. Okay, so and we wouldn't have known that if we had not kept a food diary. Now, the second is making a list of positive self-talk phrases or affirmations. Now, there's a good chance that you're groaning at this one, but hear me out. Ants or automatic negative thoughts are sneaky, borderline abusive things that we say to ourselves in our heads that we would never say to others, especially our kids. And don't kid yourself, they hurt. I didn't start doing this work until I heard my then 3-year-old berate themselves the way that I did at the time over something so innocuous, like playing with their train table. And this is a profound lesson. in hearing our hurtful words we direct toward ourselves come out of our children's mouths. But it isn't enough to just say the negative things or to not say the negative things. We have to counter the negative thoughts. Now, to use an example, at my worst during my bodybuilding prep, those were not good days for me. I remember saying to myself, get your shit together or you'll humiliate yourself on stage. Oof, right? I didn't say the words out loud, but it doesn't matter, does it? Words hurt. Now, when the thoughts come, there needs to be an immediate interruption and replacement. And this takes practice. Sometimes it's just the recognition. It's just a note. We are not saying these things today, and we walk away. And then the practice of replacing those thoughts with positive ones might take time, but that's why it's a great idea to have these things readily available to counter those thoughts. And I can't even tell you the last time I had that I thought something so hurtful about myself. This is really powerful work if you can bring yourself to do it. The third is making a list of alternative dopamine feeders. What else brings you joy? If you turn to food when you're sad, tired, angry, not hungry, that is because that pattern has been built through repetition. You can create a new pattern through a new repeated behavior, but you need to be prepared and conscious. Have a list of go-to options readily available. Now, it's important to note that each emotion is probably going to require a different alternative behavior. So, for example, if you're feeling a lack of connection or you're feeling loneliness, you may want to feel comfort. So that alternative behavior might look like cuddling with a pet or going for coffee with a friend or calling a relative, connecting. It's important to understand the root of these feelings in order to find the appropriate alternative dopamine feeder. Because food is not a solution to loneliness, right? Connection is. And sometimes you might not understand the root, or you might not have the emotional energy. That's a big one, to try to sort it out in the moment. And that's okay. Distraction is just as good a strategy in those moments. So maybe just get out and go for a walk to check the mail, or make a cup of coffee, or ask Google for a funny joke and send it to your teenager via text and take the credit for it. Interrupting the thought is sometimes all we need to do. And setting a timer is a really good one too. Sometimes just setting a timer and saying, I'm not going to think about anything for 10 minutes, right? And then reevaluating. We just need to pause sometimes. Now, the fourth and last one that I have for you today is seeking support. Just like any skill, for some, identifying and overcoming self-sabotaging behaviors will be a simple process, but that won't be the case for most, and that's okay. It's really difficult to see our behavior in an objective way. That's why therapy exists. And this is one of the great things about social media. There's not a lot of great things about social media, but this is one of them. We can join communities where people have similar goals and challenges, and we can share our challenges and we can learn through the experiences of others. We don't even have to participate. We can just watch the conversations that others have about their own experiences, right? And to be honest, support is the most important part of this process. Otherwise, we're just sitting in our own experience in these four walls, and we're not gaining any outside perspective on our behaviors. We just sit there internalizing, blaming, and feeding this cycle, not changing or growing, right? One of the biggest issues keeping women from joining coaching programs, either one-on-one or group coaching, is fear and shame. Most of us have spent decades chasing fad diets that are not designed for success, only to blame ourselves and add those failures to our long list of evidence, I'm using air quotes you can't see, that we can't be trusted around food. And of course, none of this is true. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Can't be trusted around food. But by learning to let go of fear and shame surrounding food, you will realize that the problem was never you. You can trust yourself to make good decisions around food. Fear and the diet industry convinced you that you couldn't. Now, I hope these steps lead you to that freedom. And just so you know, you can access a guide and a worksheet to help you to identify your self-sabotaging behaviors. You just have to visit the link in my bio on Instagram, The Muscle Bound Mama on Instagram, to go ahead and download your own copy of this workbook so that you can find your own way to strategize your own self-sabotaging behaviors. So I hope you'll go ahead and do that. Sign up, make sure you get that data. And I hope you remember to eat the fucking cake. Thanks for listening today, friends.
If you're loving what you're learning in this podcast, you will love our amazing community of like-minded women. Hop over to our website to learn more about all the ways to be part of this supportive powerhouse community of ass-kicking mamas at musclebound.com. And don't forget to follow us on social while you're there. Lastly, it would make my day if you could rate, review, and subscribe. It helps more Muscle Bound mamas like you find our show. No matter what your goals, we've got you, mama.